You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, July 23, 2026. Gimme some lovin'. Which upstream E&Ps won investor favor in H1 2026? Published by Nicholas Coccioni and Thomas Bjerkri. The first half of 2026 was a tale of two commodity markets as crude oil prices surged during the spring while natural gas prices retreated sharply after an exceptionally strong winter rally. Those diverging commodity trends led to higher profits and cash flows for those with the greatest exposure to strengthening oil prices while penalizing those most vulnerable to weakening natural gas markets. Yet commodity prices alone do not fully explain how investors allocated capital during the period. In today's RBN blog, we examine H1 2026 shareholder returns across three upstream peer groups, oil-weighted, diversified and gas-weighted E&Ps, to identify not only which companies outperformed during the first half of 2026, but also why investors rewarded certain business models over others. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog, which compares the relative performance of the ZOP index, WTI crude oil price and the S&P 500 during the first half of 2026. The ZOP index, the State Street version of the S&P Oil and Gas Exploration and Production Index, closely tracked the dramatic swings in crude oil prices, although with considerably less volatility. WTI briefly climbed to nearly $113 per barrel in early April, almost doubling from the start of the year, as escalating tensions involving Iran heightened concerns over global supply disruptions. As those fears eased during the second quarter, oil prices retreated but still finished the first 6 months of the year up just over 21%. Despite the pullback in crude prices after April, E&P equities remained remarkably resilient. The ZOP index gained approximately 22% during the first half, while the broader S&P 500 rose a respectable 9% but significantly lagged both crude oil and upstream equities. The subdued strength of E&P stocks suggests investors viewed the spring oil price spike as temporary, while remaining confident in the sector's longer-term fundamentals, including disciplined capital spending, stronger balance sheets, and continued shareholder returns. However, the market was far more selective than the headline performance of the ZOP index would suggest. The first half of 2026 demonstrated that commodity prices remained the primary driver of upstream equity performance, but not in a uniform way. Investors distinguished between business models, rewarding companies whose financial and operating characteristics were best aligned with the prevailing commodity environment. Within the oil-weighted peer group, shareholders favored companies offering the greatest leverage to rising crude oil prices. Among the diversified E&Ps, company-specific execution, operational control and strategic positioning proved just as important as commodity exposure in separating the outperformers from the laggards. Conversely, as natural gas prices retreated, investors shifted their focus toward stronger balance sheets, resilient free cash flow and lower financial leverage. Oil-weighted E&Ps rebounded sharply from a disappointing 2025, posting a median total shareholder return of 20% during H1 2026. The group's performance ultimately mirrored the strength in crude oil prices, which surged following the escalation of the Iran conflict in March before remaining elevated through much of the second quarter. The median return consisted of an 18% share price gain and a 2% dividend yield, illustrating that expanding equity valuations, not income, drove most of the group's outperformance. Investors clearly favored companies with the greatest upside to rising oil prices. You might want to take a look at Figure 2, which shows the five best performing companies: High Peak Energy, Permian Resources, Riley Exploration Permian, Chord Energy and Ring Energy, shared one common characteristic: they were positioned to benefit disproportionately from a stronger oil market. That leverage came through a combination of financial leverage, concentrated Permian exposure, and operating leverage. As crude prices strengthened, investors rewarded these companies with the largest share price gains. At the other end of the spectrum, the sector's largest and most established companies, including ConocoPhillips, Devon Energy, Diamondback Energy and Occidental Petroleum, generated more modest, though still positive, returns. These companies entered 2026 with stronger balance sheets, lower financial leverage and larger market capitalizations, making them less sensitive to short-term swings in commodity prices. Investors instead gravitated toward companies that offered greater torque to the oil rally, while viewing the larger producers as lower risk, more defensive investments. The performance gap highlights a recurring characteristic of commodity-driven equity markets. When oil prices rise sharply over a relatively short period, Investors often reward companies with the greatest operational and financial leverage, even if the rally is expected to be temporary. The first half of 2026 provided another clear example of that dynamic. Diversified E&Ps also rebounded from a weak 2025, producing a median shareholder return of 19% during H1 2026. Unlike the oil-weighted peer group, however, returns varied much more widely. 10 of the 15 companies generated positive returns while 5 finished in negative territory, indicating that company-specific factors played a larger role in determining investor performance. While higher oil prices created a supportive backdrop, operating leverage, portfolio quality, and strategic execution ultimately gave some firms an edge. The strongest performer by a wide margin was W&T Offshore, as shareholders enjoyed a 94% total return. W&T benefited from exceptional operating and financial leverage to rising oil prices, while a strong first-quarter earnings report reinforced investor confidence that higher commodity prices were translating into improved financial results. SM Energy, Ovintiv, and APA Corporation each generated returns exceeding 30%. APA continued the momentum established in 2025, while SM Energy rebounded sharply after a difficult prior year, supported by the completion of its acquisition of Civitas Resources and the nearly $1 billion sale of its South Texas properties. EOG Resources, Mach Natural Resources, and Crescent Energy also posted solid gains between 20% and 25%, while Matador Resources, Magnolia Oil and Gas, and Murphy Oil delivered respectable, albeit below median, returns. At the opposite end of the spectrum, the weakest performers were concentrated among the non-operating E&Ps, Granite Ridge, Northern Oil and Gas, and Vitesse Energy, which are typically among the most hedged in our universe, see sensitive kind. Because these companies rely primarily on non-operated working and royalty interests, drilling activity and capital allocation remain uncertain and are largely under the control of their operating partners, hence the more aggressive hedging posture. Infinity Natural Resources, one of the most gas-focused companies in the peer group, also posted a double-digit decline as natural gas prices retreated from their winter highs, despite its aggressive hedging policy. A common thread among the group's strongest performers was financial and operational leverage. W&T Offshore and SM Energy rank among the most highly leveraged companies in our coverage universe, allowing incremental improvements in commodity prices to translate into outsized gains in equity value. As with the oil-weighted peer group, investors rewarded diversified companies offering the greatest upside exposure to strengthening oil prices, while businesses with more conservative financial profiles or lower commodity sensitivity generally produced more modest returns. Gas-weighted E&Ps were the weakest performing peer group during the first half of 2026, posting a median shareholder loss of 2% after generating a 13% gain in 2025. The reversal reflected the sharp decline in natural gas prices during the second quarter as an exceptionally cold winter gave way to milder spring weather and storage concerns eased. Although first quarter earnings were generally excellent, benefiting from elevated winter gas prices, investors quickly shifted their attention to a weaker forward pricing environment. As a result, strong historical earnings did little to offset concerns about lower cash flow during the second and third quarters of 2026. Performance across the peer group was notably weaker than among the oil-weighted and diversified E&Ps. Only 2 of the 9 companies generated positive shareholder returns, 2 finished essentially unchanged, and 5 posted losses. Range Resources and Antero Resources led the group with total returns of 6% and 2%, respectively. Notably, these companies had the highest liquids weighting of their Q1 2026 production at 32% and 31%, respectively. Both companies also entered the downturn with the strongest balance sheets in the peer group, carrying debt-to-capital ratios of approximately 12%. Their conservative financial profiles gave investors confidence that they could continue generating attractive free cash flow despite weaker natural gas prices. EQT Corporation, the nation's second-largest natural gas producer, and Diversified Energy essentially broke even during the period, while National Fuel Gas and CNX Energy experienced relatively modest declines. Expand Energy, Gulfport Energy, and Comstock Resources recorded the largest losses, declining by 16%, 18%, and 36%, respectively. Comstock's reversal was particularly noteworthy. After ranking as the second best performer among gas-weighted E&Ps in 2025, the company surrendered all those gains during the first half of 2026. Investors appeared increasingly concerned about Comstock's combination of high financial leverage and substantial future capital requirements. As of year-end 2025, approximately 60% of the company's natural gas reserves remained undeveloped, representing significant long-term value but also requiring considerable future investment. In a weakening natural gas price environment, investors tend to discount companies whose future value depends heavily on capital-intensive development programs. The gas-weighted peer group provided a striking contrast to the oil-weighted E&Ps. Whereas higher financial and operating leverage amplified shareholder returns during the oil rally, falling natural gas prices reversed that relationship. Investors instead gravitated toward companies with stronger balance sheets, lower operating costs, and more resilient free cash flow, while penalizing those with higher debt burdens or significant future capital requirements. The first half of 2026 reinforced a broader investment lesson. The market rewarded leverage when commodity prices were rising, but rewarded financial resilience when commodity prices weakened. Taken together, these results suggest that today's upstream equity market is becoming increasingly discriminating. Investors are placing greater emphasis on balance sheet strength, capital discipline, operational flexibility, and management's ability to allocate capital effectively across changing commodity price cycles. Companies that can consistently convert favorable market conditions into sustainable free cash flow and superior shareholder returns are increasingly separating themselves from the broader peer group. Perhaps the most important lesson from the first half of 2026 is that commodity prices still set the direction of the sector, but business quality increasingly determines the magnitude of shareholder returns. As the industry continues to prioritize capital efficiency over production growth, investors are likely to remain focused on companies that combine high-quality asset portfolios with financial flexibility and disciplined capital allocation. Those characteristics, not simply commodity exposure, are becoming the defining traits of long-term outperformers in the upstream sector. Gimme Some Lovin' was written by Spencer Davis, Steve Winwood, and Muff Winwood. It was released as a standalone single and later appeared as the first song on side one of the 1967 UK-released compilation album, The Best of the Spencer Davis Group. Recorded at Philips Studio in London in June 1966 and produced by Chris Blackwell and Jimmy Miller, the single was released in October 1966. It went to number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Producer Chris Blackwell would later found Island Records, which brought reggae music to a worldwide audience, and built Compass Point Studios in Nassau, Bahamas. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001. Producer Jimmy Miller produced the Rolling Stones records from 1968 to 1973. He died in Denver in October 1994 at 52 and was posthumously inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2026. Personnel on the record were Spencer Davis, guitar, backing vocals, Steve Winwood, lead vocals, Hammond B3 organ, piano, guitar, Muff Winwood, bass, backing vocals, and Pete York, drums. The Best of the Spencer Davis Group was released on Island Records in the UK in July 1967. It contained 14 songs by the group, including 4 top 10 hits. The Spencer Davis Group was a British rock band formed in Birmingham in 1963 by vocalist/guitarist Spencer Davis, brothers Steve Winwood, vocals, keyboards, guitar, and Muff Winwood, bass, backing vocals, and Pete York on drums. They are known for a string of hit singles in the 1960s, including Gimme Some Lovin', Keep On Running, Somebody Help Me, and I'm a Man. They released 8 studio albums, 5 live albums, 27 compilation albums, a soundtrack album, 5 EPs, and 30 singles. The original group broke up in July 1969. Steve Winwood went on to become a founding member of Traffic and Blind Faith, and a successful multi-platinum solo artist. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in March 2004 as a member of Traffic. Muff Winwood went on to become an A&R director for Island Records and a successful record producer, producing records by Marianne Faithfull, Mott the Hoople, Traffic, and Sparks. Spencer Davis pursued a solo career and died in Los Angeles in October 2020 at 81. Steve Winwood still records and performs live and will be co-headlining the Legacy Tour with John Fogerty, which begins in September. He also appears on multiple songs on the Rolling Stones' latest album, Foreign Tongues, which was released in July.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.